I'll get it right. Let's try that again. Good evening, Harvest family. Good. Some of y'all might have still been napping on your Sunday afternoon nap. So who got a nap this afternoon? I got an interrupted one. I think I got 4 text messages and a phone call, and I gave up and did just a little reading instead. Well, good. Let's go ahead and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started tonight. Good to see everyone here tonight. What a wonderful blessing it was this morning. Pray that our visitors that came, we might see some more of those as well. So let's go ahead and stand together. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Chair, will you open us in prayer, please? So we had the same dream. Oh well. So we're waiting on the praise in there. Miss Margot. Yes, amen. Amen. All right, on that note, let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter number 2. We'll continue our study part 2 on the dangers of apostate deception. And again, you know, just the aspect and idea, a little bit what Brother Cherry said. I mean, there's a start where you don't have the services. You can't find a church. Or they have just a mini sermonette once a week. And I can tell stories like that as well. Michelle and I think I may have told the story before when we were on vacation some years ago. And one of the men in our church was doing a series. We were doing a series on cults, and I had different men teach different parts of study, give them time, and they would teach it. And then one of the men in our church taught one on the emergent church. And then I thought to myself, when we were back in the States, I thought, you know, I've been overseas so long, I'm not familiar with this movement. I've never seen it, don't know anything about it. I'm here with the military. People come and go. We've had people come and leave. We've actually had people leave our church and not tend around because I talked about Jesus and the blood too much. So they didn't come back. And then this gentleman told me, he said, "Preacher, that's what I'm talking about. That's one of the things I'm talking about." So we went on vacation, and while we're gone, I found a church, and I was glad it was just me and Michelle and our daughter and son-in-law, so we decided to visit one church, and we did. And I was flabbergasted and shocked that they have one service a week, and it was a performance. You couldn't fill a thimble with Bible from the service that day. I left shocked, disappointed, enlightened in the sense of saying how Brother Troop, who taught the series on that, was correct, and I did not realize and see it. And sometimes things change in our life. Churches change, and it's good for us to be reminded about what's not only out there, but there's one thing that's in common in all of that, and that is Satan is still alive and working. He's still doing what he can in deception, and I'll get to it a little more later in the Bible study, but I'm going to say something now before I forget. And that is, as we remember, just a little bit of twisting, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, what was part of the responsibility that they had in the garden? Was to what? To garden, to dress it. But there was one area, even though they may have been part of dressing it, there's one area of a tree that they could not do what? Yeah. Or touch it. Well, no, just eat of it. Just eat. They were to dress in the garden. But Satan used the aspect and twisted scripture and even said, not only you're not to eat of it, you're not even to touch it. You know, so we have to be very careful. That's how Satan works. He puts in and mixes in a little bit, he allows a little bit of truth and mixes a little bit of falsehood in it. And we see that very common today in many of the cults and religions. And I may say this again a little bit later, but again, in case I forget, is that we also have to remember, do you realize that most cults, very few cults, now there are some exceptions, but most of them go after backslidden Christians. They go after people that are out of church, those that have a little bit of knowledge, almost aspect, well, let us help you out where they couldn't help you. They feed off that disgruntledness or frustration they had, and they use that to get into people's homes. And I think I may have mentioned this last week, that there is one particular cult that is very, very, I don't want to use the word famous, it's very common, and statistics say they talk about how many people within their temples and what they have come from other religions, where people were not churched, or they got out of church, they got discouraged, or they were not discipled, but they have a background. And a very large percentage of those people were in the Protestant Baptist realm. because they were not disciples. And let me say this real quick. There's a difference between Protestant and Baptist, but that's not my lesson tonight. But that background is what they would go after. So it's important that we do know the word. It's important that we don't allow Satan or others to use or mix some truth with some error in it. Because I know there are medications out there, and we went through a fear some years ago. Remember when they were going through the blister packages of Tylenol and others and putting poison in them? Being sick? The bottle itself contained medication that would help, but that mixture of the poison and things he put in made a difference in someone's life. And that's how Satan works. He works, puts in a little bit of poison, mixed in with a little bit of truth that he might deceive or hook you. So 1 John, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and I'll pray for the Lesser family. Then we'll read a little bit of our text and go on with our study. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy and fellowship. Father, bless the Lester family, Lord, in their needs. Right now, they're going through some struggles with their health. We pray that you touch and heal their bodies, give them strength, be the doctors, give them wisdom in helping them. I pray that you be with them in their housing situation. Lord, I know what it's like to have rough neighbors and have not knowing what to do in a rough situation with housing, Lord, and you just can't move or it's not an opportunity to move. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. I pray that you'd clear this up, help them provide a way for them to stay where they're at, the things will work out, or another place that might even be closer to the church or better for them, for their life, for their ministry and their family, Father. And now, Father, bless the reading of your word tonight and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is in the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus Christ is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from us the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Again, dangers of apostate deception. Last week we looked at they departed from the fellowship, because we looked at here in verse number 19, and we close with one of the phrases, you may not agree with how things are done, but you should agree that without the whole counsel of God, the whole counsel of God must be preached and taught without compromise. Number two, they deny the faith. So these apostates not only depart from the fellowship, but they deny the faith in verses 20 through 25, as we just read. So we need to understand and realize that not all preachers and teachers who claim to be Christians are really Christian in their belief. We have got a lot of television evangelists that are making a killing on gullible people. They are not presenting or teaching, many of them, not all, the truth. There are those who believe in the Bible, but not in the deity of Jesus Christ. There are those who believe in God, but they do not believe, again, in the deity of Jesus Christ. There are those who believe in the moral goodness of Jesus, but not in the deity of Jesus Christ. We have probably met some of them. I know I have, and had discussions about this with others. The great assertion of the faith that sets a Christian apart from the cults and apostates is this: Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Look at their passage there, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And I apologize, you can turn in your Bible if you have bigger print, but trying to get everything fit in that little handout, I use a smaller font. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you that the Spirit of God, Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now imagine the challenge here and the reminder here of 1 John and the Apostle John to young believers and to the church here. And think about it then, at that time, travel, transportation, communication didn't exist like it does today. Even so more, we are bombarded even more. You've got television, you've got the internet, you've got radio, you've got people going door to door on some of these cults as well. It's out there, and we have to deal with it more than the time here during the writing of the Apostle John as he writes to the church. The principal work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the truth concerning the person of Jesus Christ. The principal work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the truth concerning the person of Jesus Christ. You see, the test of any religious organization, the test of any minister who claims to be a minister of the gospel, the test of all cults and those in apostate denomination is to ask the response to this simple question: who is Jesus Christ? Well, that will tell you so much about anybody that wants to invite you to church or invite you to a function or give you a literature or another testament of the Lord that they say that it is ask them, who is Jesus Christ to you? And now again, be ready to answer the question if they don't know the answer to the question or if they don't have the right answer. The Bible makes it unquestionably clear. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of the eternal God, who was virgin born, sinless, perfect, and clothed in perfect humanity. You see, Satan will never, under any circumstance, allow or permit a man to accept that truth. His desire is to deceive, to trick. Satan, I may have a typo here, should be Satan may concede that God created the universe. He may concede that. Satan may concede that the Bible contains the words of God. But Satan will never concede that Christ is the Son of God. Every world philosophy at work today that denies Christ is the Son of God is under the influence of the Antichrist. And we need to understand and realize that, hey, we've seen the power of God work in our life. We've seen the power of God work in the life of others. We also must realize that the Bible does talk about Satan, him being the prince and the power of the air. He is the one who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is a trickster. So keeping this in mind about him, when one of these Christ rejectors speaks, the unsaved world hears them and believes them. And that's what's so sad. So many people that hear and believe. I'm sure we have met some. We have talked to some. I know some people personally that were brought up in good, sound churches, but somewhere along the way they swayed. Somewhere along the way they left. And some of them are even involved in cults. And the common denominator with many of them that I've talked to, and I asked, and I gave the example last week of Mr. Winslet, and well as some others, is simply put, why did you start going back to a religious facility? Of course, they wonder, no, that's what I mean, a facility. That's our temple. I said, yeah, but why did you leave? And for some of them, I knew their pastor, I knew the church they went to, and the town that I grew up. What made you change? What caused you to leave? He goes, are you writing a book? I said, no, but I'm doing some research. If you don't want to tell me, fine. But if you don't mind, tell me. And the common denominator with many of them is they felt like they either weren't received. I found out they were never discipled. They were never mentored. They may have gotten sideways with a pastor or someone in the church, so they decided not to go back, and they've been out of church for a period of time. And then over months, weeks, years, somebody comes by and follows up and visits with them frequently, spends time, wants to have a Bible study with them. They accommodate them in any and every way they can to get in their home. And before long, they find out they've gone down a road. And I can remember asking one before, so were you wrong then and right now? Are you really wrong now and backsliding away from the Lord? You need to get back. Of course, particular person got very highly offended. And then my response was, once again, years ago, who did you trust as your Savior? Well, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I said, what are you trusting now? What is your belief? What is your new church, your new facility you go to? What do they believe about Jesus? For some, it was a little bit of a wake-up call. For some, it gave them some things and room to think about it. And still, even today, I still continue to pray for a friend that I went to high school with because of all the confusion, has been unchurched for 30-some years. Dear friend, we need to make sure that we're grounded and know the truth and be on guard. A believer, we need to remember, keeping this in mind, remember that Christ, when these Christ rejecters speak, so the unsaved world hears them and believes them. But a believer who is under the unction, as we saw here in verse 20, of the Holy Spirit, and the anointed of the Holy Spirit, in verse 27, knows that the false teacher is speaking under the influence of the Antichrist. We should have no fear of rejecting and correcting and telling them about what is truth. Listen, my friend, either Jesus is the very God clothed with human flesh, or else you and I are only kidding ourselves. But without a doubt, we are not. To confess Jesus Christ as God come into flesh involves much more than simply to identify with Christ. True confession involves a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A confession is not a mere intellectual, theological statement that you recite. It's a personal witness from your heart of what Christ has done for you. It is a relationship. And I hope and pray that it's more than coming to church on Sunday morning and coming back on Sunday night and Wednesday, come around on Tuesday fellowship and meeting on functions and game night. But I hope you have a relationship with Him regularly during the week, because that relationship is what's going to help you to grow in grace and knowledge, to recognize things that are not truth in deception of the apostates. See, again, a conversion to Christ does not come because you have some religious experience or the fact that God has done some great thing to benefit you. A man is not saved by saying he believes what his church believes. We have met those as well. We've been to church services to see people walk the aisle and get saved that grew up and had been members of the church you were attending at, but yet had never trusted Christ. He is saved by trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone as his personal Savior. And every other way is apostate. And they are there of another way. Some of them even advertise and talk about another way, another direction. Bible tells us in Romans 10 and 9 and verse 10 and 13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And once saved, his life bears witness to his faith. Well, I can't imagine. We've all gotten bitter at one time in our life, have gotten upset and gotten our feelings hurt. But I just can't imagine the deception that Satan uses to turn someone away. I have met people, I have friends that I grew up with, family members who are involved in church, and only later to find out about going in another. I just can't comprehend it. But we must remind ourselves of how good Satan is at what he does. An apostate liberal will often say, oh, we worship the Father, we believe in God, even though we disagree with you about Jesus Christ. You know, there's even what used to be Bible colleges, today they are universities. I'm not going to call any out, for some may have family, friends, or you may have went there, I don't know. But they were once Bible colleges that have become universities and still classify in the area of a religious place. And some of them have college professors and teachers and what was known as a Bible seminary involved at the university that will deny the story of Jonah, that will deny portions of creation, that will deny, and I'm thinking to myself, then why are you teaching there? Why are you hiring them on your staff to teach? What about these young men and women who are going to school? They're being told, oh, those are just stories. We'll get to the real stuff later. Folks, when you start casting doubt, and that's what Satan does, when you start casting doubt on any portions of Scripture, then where in the world and how are we to know of what is right and what is wrong? As a missionary, I walked a very tight rope because there were so many, how do I say this? There were translations out there that were available in some of the land. Right now, there's 13 to 17 different translations in Spanish of the Bible. Of course, some are better than the others. In Russian, there was three or four translations in the Russian Bible available to people. And me learning the language, I wasn't quite sure. And I remember talking to Vlad, I think it was Vladimir and Ivan. I said, all these different translations, I know that I'm preaching in English, and you're translating in the Russian language, but I've never thought to ask you about what version are you reading. And then we were talking, and I asked him, there's four translations. I said, well, which one is the best translation? He said, Pastor, our Bible Institute here that we have in our country and other missionaries have taught, we have all, some of us have read through different versions, and what we come up with, we decided to take the translations that talks more about Jesus than the other ones. Ones that puts the emphasis on Christ and God, that doesn't water it down or take away from his deity. Are they wonderful, great translations? Some of them are decent, but there are those that are better, that lift up Christ. And he went through and he showed me the different places in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, in the Gospels, and other in the Old Testament about where they lift up Christ and they put him in the center place. That's exactly what Satan does. He makes the small changes that make things appear or acceptable. Listen, to deny Christ means you also deny God the Father. You cannot separate them since they are one God. John 5:23 reads, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Here's where we look tonight. Remember, they departed from the fellowship, talking about the deception of apostate. They deny the faith. And then lastly, number three tonight, they deceive the faithful in verse 26 and verse number 27. Again, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointed teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. See, it's interesting to observe that anti-Christian groups, as I mentioned earlier, rarely try to lead lost sinners or lead those who are anti-God to their false faith. Instead, they spend much of their time trying to convert backslidden Christians to their doctrines. Here's a test. Someone challenged me. I couldn't believe it, so I did it. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Go on the Mormon website. You don't have to give your name or your number, but just spend a few minutes there and see if somebody doesn't knock on your door within the next 7 days. Guess what? They did. They even knocked on our door in Germany, didn't they, Michelle? Boy, they got a tiger by the tail. I wasn't home that day when Michelle answered the door. Usually they come with two. One that's being taught, and they do some of the talking, and the other one stands back trying to help them or to help them out. In other words, a time of teaching them. Hey, I tell you what, I can't knock their zeal. I can't knock their willingness to learn and to go, but they're proselyting. And that's why it's important that we know the truth of Scriptures, because they will do all they can to deceive the faithful. Notice verse 26, the word seduced carries the idea of being led astray. Being led astray. We have been warned this could happen in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and teaching of demons. Boy, we have so many different nonprofit religious groups in the world today. It is unbelievable. And how many, again, contain a part of the truth, but how many are trying to preach and teach the whole counsel of God? Without watering down. There's even some that get caught up, as I mentioned about the emerging church and some other faith, and this one couple that was in our church and didn't want to come back because we talked too much. I made much about Jesus, basically. Talked too much about the blood. When I went by and I visited them in their home, and I said, I know you said you weren't coming back. I just wonder if you'd give me some of your time. And they were gracious and invited me and even offered me a glass of water, a cup of coffee, and I talked. And before I left, I prayed with them. And I warned them. I said, look, you may not agree with me, but I'm going to ask you, before you make this final decision, to be sure this is how God is leading you. You may have been in another church that doesn't sing about the blood, that don't make much of Jesus. We are different. And again, I gave them the plan of salvation. And I said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. How do you get away from that? And then I closed with this before I left. I said, I love you guys. I really do. And I want to minister to you. I said, but if you're not careful, you'll not be in church anywhere over this issue. And then before long, pointed to the wife, you'll be going back to the States because you don't like it anymore. He doesn't love you anymore. He spends too much time at work. And before long, you're going to end up in divorce and you're going to be going back to the States. 8 months later, I got a phone call. Pastor, you're right. My wife is leaving. Even then, he still did not come to church. Wanted me to pray for him. Wanted to come by and talk with me when he saw me on base. But then again, it all comes around to the aspect of making Christ central in our church, taking the whole counsel of God, not just that which we like or want. See, the devil's trick is to lead us astray by mixing a lot of truth with some error. I've shared with you already the example with Satan in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, we should not accept everything a person tells us simply because they claim to believe the Bible. Check it out to make sure he is not or she is not twisting Scripture. In fact, I've come to the point and reminded in this study that when I talk to people and they say they go to church, when they, even if they mention a name of a church and I think, well, okay, they probably teach the truth there. I still don't. If I have an opportunity, I still ask them, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you have confessed your sins and trusted Christ? Because I've come to the realizing conclusion, no matter what the church name is, not all churches are the same. Not all. Some of them have become watered down. The deception has crept in. Hey, it started somewhere. And it can start again even today at our good, sound churches. That deception can creep in, and before long there's splits, so long there's divisions, and before long there's only a few left, and the problem is the ones that are left are the ones that caused the problem to begin with sometime. Remember, Satan is not an originator. He is a counterfeiter. Not an originator. He is a counterfeiter. There is nothing. You know the old saying goes, you know when that fellow's lying? Yeah, every time he moves his lips. Well, that's the same thing with Satan. Again, some truth doesn't make complete truth. Withholding a portion of truth is still not the full truth. Satan has counterfeit ministers who preach a counterfeit gospel that produces a counterfeit faith. Satan's chief trick during this age is to plant the counterfeit wherever Christ plants truth. If truth is there, Satan's going to do all he can to plant some deceit, to plant something that is not true, that is counterfeit. It's important that you be able to detect the counterfeit and separate the teachings of Christ from those false cults. I'm not telling you to go out and study the cults. What I'm telling you is make sure you know the Word of God well enough that if they knock on your door, or if they approach you in public, or it's a friend or a family that you're visiting, bring up that you recognize what the truth is and that you could correct a partial truth. So, preacher, how can a believer be sure he is not sidetracked by some smooth religious operator? Well, John gives us two lines of defense against deception. And we'll talk about that next week. He gives us two lines of deception, and we'll talk about that more next week. And remember, again, the best defense that we have in the Word of God is the Word of God by knowing it. Some years ago, I'll close with this example. I was at a church. I was, reference to my closing tonight. I was 16, 17. Young preacher still attending Bible college, hasn't quite graduated yet. And pastor allowed him to preach that night, trying to encourage him to be involved in ministry. Preached a really good message. And he got to that cliffhanger to the point, it's like the man on the flying trapeze. He lets go and he flips and flips and flips. And then something, everything just stopped and froze. You got to come back next week to find out if he grabs on to the bar on the other end. Sometimes it's good to leave that little bit of that cliffhanger. But let me remind you again as we close tonight. Remember, There are dangers out there. Be grateful. Thank you, Brother Cherry, for the testimony. I'm not saying that those other churches that only have a Sunday service are apostate, but what I'm saying is, after a while, when we start watering down and we start dropping things and we start adding other things and diluting the truth, before long, that's when we go in that direction. We got to make sure that the truth remains, because they did depart from the fellowship. They did deny the faith. And as we saw tonight, they deceived the faithful. They're going after those that have a little bit of knowledge, maybe enough knowledge to make them dangerous. In other words, enough knowledge to make them dangerous because they don't know enough, but really they have enough knowledge to risk their future and their future growth. So again, let me encourage you, stay in the Word, recognize the Word, don't be afraid to ask questions, but don't go down into a, what's the word I'm looking for? Don't go rabbit hole and find yourself spending hours and hours and hours trying to find out about what they believe in the cult. Stick with what we know that God believes, and you will recognize. Nothing wrong with having some basics. There's some good studies out there, maybe somewhere down the line. If we add another Sunday school class or another study, we may do a series on the different cults. But it's important that we do recognize and know the truth, because that is our best defense against apostate deception that Satan pushes. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Again, we thank you for your goodness and your love for us. Thank you for the word of God, Father. Thank you for your son, the Lord who gave his life on Calvary's cross that we might have eternal life. Lord, help us not only appreciate, but Lord, help us not take for granted the security that we have in Christ, but help us to have a hunger and a thirst to know more, to equip ourselves that we may not be approached, and that when we are approached, that we are ready to defend. That we are ready to defend not only ourselves, but our family, our friends around us that may hear some untruth mixed with a little bit of truth. Now, Father, bless us as we dismiss our time of fellowship, our work week this week. May you be uplifted and glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Lord bless you. As always, Lord.